In today's gospel, Christ teaches us to be persistent in faithful prayer. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some of you here this morning might be familiar with the name Beverly Beckham. Beverly Beckham, for many years, has written a weekly column, starting in the Boston Herald and then ultimately in the Boston Globe. I'm not sure whether she's still doing it or not. I don't get those papers anymore, but some of her columns ended up ultimately, you know, those collections, what do they call it, Chicken Soup for the Soul, the books you see, you know, some of her columns have appeared in those collections of Chicken Soup for the Soul. She wrote about everyday things, you know, things we experience all the time, with a sense of humor, but with serious intent as well. And it's clear from her writing that she is a practicing Catholic. So in one of her little columns some time ago now, she wrote about going to a lecture one night with several of her lady friends. They'd wanted to hear the speaker. They went to the lecture. When it was done, they stopped in a little coffee shop to have coffee. They were talking about the lecture, and they agreed it was very thought-provoking, very stimulating. Of course, they said, he did use a lot of vulgarity. But, you know, after all, we're adults. We can handle that. And, of course, he did use a lot of obscenity, too. But, you know, that was just to keep us awake. So anyway, they had their conversation. So on her way home, she was driving home alone, she thought to herself, wait a minute. Since when do we just take vulgarity and obscenity for granted? How come we've gotten to a point where if somebody uses lots of swear words or lots of vulgar, obscene things, we just take it for granted? We don't think twice about it. She thought to herself, now this is her words, not mine. We live in a country of moral dry rot. We have to be careful it doesn't affect us. Now those of you who know anything about construction business know that dry rot is when your foundations or something begin to disintegrate. You don't know it. You can't see it happening until all of a sudden something collapses. That's her point. Her point was that, unfortunately, in much of America today, there's a dry rot, a moral dry rot that's affecting all of us without our even being aware of it, without even knowing it. Now, I share that with you this morning because in today's gospel, Jesus concludes with some very thought-provoking words. He says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" When Jesus comes, will he find any faith on earth. Now remember, when he uses that phrase, faith on earth, he's not talking about intellectual belief. We believe the creeds. Yes, I profess the creeds. He's talking about a lived faith. When he comes, will he find people living his teaching, living it out? Will he find faith on the earth? Let me offer you just one little example of what he might be referring to here. Remember when Jesus stood before Pilate? Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus responds, "You say that I'm a king. I have come as a witness to the truth. I have come to focus people's lives on the truth. And the truth will make you free," he says someplace else. Do you think we have much truth today in America? Do you trust what people tell you? Why, if you do, why? And if you don't, why not? And who do you trust to tell you the truth? Remember, the truth is the way things really are. Not the way things we want them to be, not the way we'd like them to be. No, there are some people who think that if they say something enough, that makes it true. What they want, what they would hope, they say it enough, that makes it true, makes it real. Well, I can just tell you this. In my experience, that's not true. That's not a truth itself. I can go out and buy my Kia Optima out back there and stand in front of it all day long and say, "You are a Mercedes. You are a Mercedes." It's not going to become a Mercedes, okay? So whether it's a politician, an advertising company, if they say over and over and over again, this is the way it is, it may not be true. The fact that they say it enough doesn't make it true necessarily, and we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful. So we might ask ourselves that, you know, I'm always struck by, in advertising, sometimes you get on, you know, on television, you're watching these ads for whatever, and they build up this product, and they make it, you know, it sounds just the most marvelous. And then at the end of the ad, there'll be a little, the fine print down below, you know. If you really get up close to enough to read it, which you can't read from a distance, unless you're Superman, you know, you get up close to it, and you see this little thing, "Results may vary." Well, what are they saying? They presented this in the highest possible light, but they know it's not going to always work. See, so are they telling us the truth? When a politician says over and over again, "This is the way it is, this is the way it is, this is the way it is," and your eyes tell you that's not the way it is. So truth, the question is, do we let that affect the way we live? We become people who don't deal with the truth ourselves, who find it easy to be dishonest. We get affected by the moral dry rot. That's what we have to be careful of. You know, some years ago now, and I'd conclude this little segment of the homily with this, the senator from New York, who since deceased, was named Daniel Patrick Moynihan. He was a longtime senator. He gave a talk once in which he talked about how societies can fall into what he calls defining deviancy down. Defining deviancy down. And what he meant was this. He said, you know, in a society, you always find rules and values and things people say they believe. He said, but after a period of time, if people stop living that way, if they stop living the values they claim that they believe, society ends up in kind of a schizophrenic state. You know, we believe this, but we live this way. And society can't live that way very long. It becomes too hard to live that way psychologically. So what a society then tends to do is to accept what they once called wrong and make it right. You define deviancy, what was once looked upon as deviant behavior, we define it down until it becomes acceptable. Because we can't live in that state of disruption. Is that what's happened in America today when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to honesty, truth, when it comes to sharing with our neighbor. So that's what's happened. We've defined all those values down to something else. We have to be careful. Remember, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? May God bless you.